The text is Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thank you that you are pleased to give it to us. We ask, Father, that you'd be gracious now and give us your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of light and illumination in our hearts, that we might better understand your word and hear your voice, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. John Fickert was an evangelist and visiting a church in a community that was mostly Dutch, not mostly Scotch-Irish. Visiting in a community that was mostly Dutch, after the worship service, he was walking down the street with one of the elders in the church which he was visiting, and passing by a particular yard, the elder left his side suddenly, ran into the middle of the yard, stooped down in front of the lawnmower a man was pushing, turned off the lawnmower, and said to the man in a loud voice, "Don't you know you're not supposed to be doing that on the Sabbath?" John Fickert said with regard to that incident, "That may not be the best way to do evangelism. Sabbath questions, they do indeed come to us. And any of us who are pastors or elders understand that Sabbath questions often do come to us. And a Sabbath question came to Jesus in this particular incident we see in Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 23. And Jesus has a particular answer he gives to those who challenge him. And as he gives this answer to those who challenge him, Jesus is presenting himself as the Lord of glory, as the Messiah, as the incarnate God. And that's what we need to grasp as we look at this particular text this morning. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, is the one with whom we have to do. Jesus Christ is the ruler of heaven and earth. And we are confronted with him. And in the end, he is the one who brings us, you and me, into our eternal Sabbath rest. It's a Sabbath question, isn't it? And that's what we're talking about this morning. Look at the text with me, if you would. Mark chapter 2. "And it happened that he was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of grain. The Pharisees were saying to him, 'Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?'" Jesus sent the disciples on the Sabbath day passing through the grain fields. Were no doubt hungry. Ministry needs press them to such an extent, we find later in the book of Mark, that they hardly had time to stop and eat. That's the extent to which the people pressed them. And this is probably the circumstance on this particular Sabbath day. And passing through the fields, the disciples took grain in their own hands and ate it, whether wheat or corn. In Kansas, some farmers like to take the grain and the wheat and rub it in their hands and pop it in their mouth and eat it. I never liked that very much. But everyone has their thing. And so the disciples were eating this grain, and the Pharisees immediately challenged Jesus with regard to his disciples. "Why are they violating the Sabbath day?" Well, strictly speaking, according to the book of Deuteronomy, it was permissible for individuals to pluck grain by hand in a field, and there was no Sabbath exception in the book of Deuteronomy. And so they weren't actually violating the law of Moses, but the Pharisees had a lot of stipulations, didn't they? They had 39 articles, and underneath those articles, divided into six categories, an additional list of 39 articles, and according to the traditions of the Pharisees, the disciples were in fact violating the Sabbath. And so the charge was made against Jesus. Jesus has a response. Verse 25 in Mark chapter 2. And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was hungry, when he was in need and his companions became hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests, and he also gave it to those who were with him? Have you not read this story?" Of course they had read this story. These men were studied in the Word of God. They knew the Old Testament. They knew this story. Jesus wasn't pointing out anything new to them, but he was directing them to an incident in the Old Testament which they were very familiar, with which they were very familiar. And we need to familiarize ourselves with that incident in order to understand the point that Jesus is making. So, please turn back, if you would, in your Bibles to 1 Samuel, which was read a little bit earlier, and the 21st chapter, and verse 1 and following. 1 Samuel, chapter 21. Here's the incident now to which Jesus is referring. "Then David came to Nob to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech came trembling to meet David and said to him, 'Why are you alone and no one with you?'" Well, let's pause a moment right there and get the Old Testament context. At this point in the narrative in 1 Samuel, Saul has been repudiated by God as king of Israel. David has been anointed by Samuel. He had been anointed by Samuel in a ceremony in his family, which we might consider semi-private. Others knew about it. David had been elevated to a general of the armies in Israel. He was a dignitary in the land. And when he came marching home from battle, there were the shouts of acclamation. Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. He was a famous man. The heir to the throne, Jonathan, was a good friend of David's. And so much respect did Jonathan have for David that Jonathan gave David his own armor and his own cloak, the cloak of a prince, the cloak of an heir to the throne. And David wore those garments. He wore the very garments of the heir apparent. And when he appeared at the tent of meeting, by himself, the priest was stunned. "Why are you alone? You never travel alone. There's always an entourage. It would be like the President of the United States coming to your door without one Secret Service agent. It just would not occur. And that's how David appeared. And Ahimelech was frightened. Something was up. And of course we know that what was up was simply that there was now warfare between Saul and David. And Saul was after David. And Saul wanted to kill David. And David was fleeing. That's what was up. Ahimelech didn't know that. But he knew something was up. And so he asked the question, "Why are you alone and no one with you?" David said to Ahimelech the priest, "The king has commissioned me with a matter that and has said to me, 'Let no one know anything about the matter on which I am sending you and with which I have commissioned you.' And I have directed the young men to a certain place." David lies. Why he did that, we don't really know. Except that David may have been attempting to protect Ahimelech. He may have been attempting to give Ahimelech what we would call plausible deniability. When Saul would come, Ahimelech wouldn't have to lie about helping David. Unfortunately, however, Saul did kill the priests, and only one escaped, a son of Ahimelech, Abiathar by name. And so David says to Ahimelech, "The young men are off in a place and I'm going to meet them." Another lie. Not the best day in David's life. David says to the priest, "Now therefore, what do you have in hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever can be found." The priest answered David and said, "There is no ordinary bread on hand, but there is consecrated bread, if only the young men have kept themselves from women. We don't have any regular supplies here, except the bread of the presence, which has been taken out of the tabernacle, off the table in the holy place. You can have that if you've kept yourselves from women." And apparently Ahimelech had in mind the stipulation given by Moses at Mount Sinai, that when individuals were consecrated before the Lord, they would be kept from women. Most of the commentators say that Ahimelech was probably a little over scrupulous here. At any rate, that's not the main point. David says, verse 5, "Surely women have been kept from us as previously, when I sent out, and the vessels of the young men were holy, though it was an ordinary journey. How much more then today will their vessels be holy?" So the priest gave him consecrated bread, for there was no bread there but the bread of the presence, which was removed from before the Lord in order to put hot bread in its place when it was taken away. The bread of the presence in the holy place. And when the priest went in the holy place, on the right-hand side of that holy place, there was a table and there were 12 loaves of bread, and that bread was changed on the Sabbath day. See, this is a Sabbath story to which Jesus is referring. And on the Sabbath day, when that bread is changed, the high priest is to eat that bread in the holy place. That was the stipulation of the law. And now, the high priest gives this bread to David. Now remember the background here, and let's go back to Mark chapter 2, and look again at what Jesus has to say. Here is Jesus' answer to the Pharisees regarding the Sabbath question. Have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions became hungry, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests? He also gave it to those who were with him. Have you not read this story, Pharisees? The Pharisees knew about David. They knew that David had been anointed by Saul as king of Israel. They knew that Saul was opposing David and that David had not yet ascended to the throne of Israel. They knew all of that. And they knew that David was in need when he had entered the sanctuary. And part of their position was, no doubt, and this is the majority report, part of their position was, no doubt, mercy trumps legalism. Mercy trumps sacrifice. And so the bread was given to David. I think we need to probe just a little bit deeper. Because my nagging question is this. Would Ahimelech have given David that bread if David was any Joe Dopes that had happened to come along? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think the reason that Ahimelech gave David that bread is because David was a prominent figure. David was heir apparent to the throne of Israel. David was a man of God, and Ahimelech knew that. And it wasn't just anyone who came to that tent of meeting. And you know what I think? I think the Pharisees would respond to Jesus in answer to the question this way. Yeah. The high priest gave David that bread, but that was David. That was David. And don't you realize, Jesus, that David was anointed to go to the throne of Israel? That he had not yet achieved that throne, but he was headed in that direction. And he was opposed by Saul. And you can see the wheels grinding in the heads of the Pharisees. And you can implicitly get the response of Jesus here. You bet that's exactly the case. Don't you get it? Don't you understand? Who was it that was standing before those Pharisees? One of the reasons that they were challenging this Jesus was because he had already presented himself as the Messiah, as the very Son of God. All you have to do is look at the beginning of chapter 2 in Mark and you understand. Jesus had been encountered by a paralytic, and the first words out of the mouth of Jesus when he encountered that paralytic were these, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And the response to that was very simple. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus said, "That you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, paralytic, take up your bed and walk." Jesus Christ was presenting himself as the Messiah, as the King, as God Himself walking in this world. And I think that's the bottom line in this passage. And you can begin to understand the grinding of the Pharisees against Jesus. And so after presenting that story about David, Jesus says, in a preliminary response or conclusion, I should say, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Jesus stands before the Pharisees and makes this pronouncement, not as a mere teacher, not as a mere expositor of the Word of God, but as the Creator and God who did make the Sabbath Himself. The Sabbath, He declares, is made for man and not man for the Sabbath. It's for a benefit for us. It's not to be utilized as a flog against the people of God, but it is a benefit for us to rest and find our rest in God as we enjoy the Sabbath. That's the preliminary conclusion. And then the final conclusion in verse 28. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. He is the Creator. He is God. He is the one who stands before the Pharisees, interestingly enough, the one who had been anointed by the Holy Spirit in the baptism of John, presenting himself as the King of Israel, not yet seated on his throne, but vehemently opposed. And who was it that was opposing him? Those very Pharisees. And they knew it. They were getting the message. And with full authority, Jesus stands and declares, so then, the Son of Man is even Lord of the Sabbath. That divine being promised in the book of Daniel, in the 7th chapter, who ascends into the heavens and takes his seat on the throne of the majesty on high, and to whom is given kingdoms and authority. The Son of Man, therefore, is Lord of the Sabbath. They got the point. And we need to get the point. Jesus Christ is the one with whom we have to do. He is the one who created all and created the Sabbath. He is the one who is the Lord of the earth. And He is the one before whom we must bow. And all of life must be, your life and my life, all of life must be regulated by the words of Jesus Christ. He is the Creator, and we are His by right of creation. And there is no escape from Him. And He is Lord of the Sabbath. which means He is not only Lord of earth, but He is Lord of heaven itself. He is the one who holds the keys of death and Hades. He is the one who opens the door to the final Sabbath rest in heaven. He is the one who closes the door on others to that final Sabbath rest. And there is reason for Jesus to say, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to Christ. Come to the one who is the Lord of all, and bow before Him." What is the classic great Christian confession? Paul puts it very simply. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. And as He Himself put it, so then, the Son of Man is even Lord of the Sabbath. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, and thank you for Jesus Christ the Lord. Open our hearts, Lord Jesus, to respond to your word, that we may walk with you. Grant this grace, we pray, in the great name of Jesus, who is indeed the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen.